With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Welcome to episode 113 of The Card Diary by Hobby S. Thompson. I'm your host, Denny Cards, and this is somewhat of a cross podcast format because I usually try to keep my hobby podcast. Is my mic okay? Okay, here we go. So basically, I like to keep The Card Diary a hobby, kind of like recorded. You know, I don't really do edits to my podcast, but I like to keep them as recordings that I do. And then the hobby hangout, I've been trying to do this 9 p.m. live on Sunday nights, Eastern time. But this is I think it's kind of like a dual episode that I'm going to put up on both platforms because my guest today was willing to go live Sunday at 9 p.m., which is today. Oh, of course, May the 4th be with you, Alex, and with all of you listening and tuning in. And yet, this is not a casual, easy conversation. This is going to be a pretty, it may get kind of deep for some folks. So this is kind of, not a warning or, hey, this isn't for kids, because this could also be for kids in the sense that anyone really can get in too deep into the hobby, whether you're a kid or an adult. You know, I think we all know that with breaking culture, there's just a lot of money being spent, and the gamblers or the gambler adjacent folks can really be affected hard by this hobby. So I am going to allow my guest to introduce himself here in a moment, but I did want to say on a positive or fun or light, bright note, I did go to my local FedEx Kinko's. I am going to have a YouTube video coming out about this. And yet I did want to kind of share with all of you, today's sponsor is me. It is me. I am hosting my own very own trade night at the Garden ALX. The address is right there. I'll put it in the chat as well. 5380 Eisenhower Avenue in Alexandria, Virginia. It is going to be May 15th. That is two Thursdays from now. And I am covering the time. It is going to be 6 to 9:30 p.m. So I paid myself a very large sum of money to promote myself on my own podcast today. It's going to be giveaways, family friendly. I'm going to have some hobby companies do some things. So be on the lookout for that. If you're in the DMV area, please. I've had people in the past drive kind of far to come to one of my trade nights. I would not advise people to come all the way out on a Thursday evening on a school night to come out to this. But if you are in the area, May 15th, 6 to 9:30 p.m., and it is free for everyone who attends. So thank you for indulging me on that. Without further ado, I really want to have my guest today introduce himself and what he's trying to create, and then we're going to really dive into it. But I'm very supportive of what he is standing for here. So Alex, the floor is all yours.
Denny, thank you so much, man. Truly appreciate you having me on. Appreciate all of the support you've given me over the last couple weeks since we first got in touch. And hey, everyone, my name is Alex Efron. I'm the founder of a new movement in the hobby called Collectors MD. I've been in the hobby for years as a collector, as a seller, buyer, breaker, you name it. I've seen firsthand how easy it is for passion to spiral into something a lot more complicated. I've experienced it firsthand. I've spoken and met with other people who have gone through the ringer. And so that's why I started Collectors MD. We're a support-based movement focused on helping people collect with intention, not compulsion. We host peer support meetings, publish daily reflections, basically journal entries. We work with creators, breakers, influencers, and platforms to push for real reform in the space, because let's be honest, the hobby's growing super fast and there are no guardrails that have caught up in time to help those that need them. So today I'm here not just to someone who loves the hobby and is extremely passionate for sports cards, sneakers, memorabilia, collectibles, you name it. I have been involved in it my entire life, but also as someone who wants to help reshape it into something healthier, more sustainable, and more human.
That's really good. All of that, I super, 100% endorse. One thing you said that I actually didn't know about you, and I really have only gotten to know you in the past couple of weeks, like in the month of April is when I really got to really understand what you're trying to do, and I am supportive of it. Is I didn't realize that you were previously a breaker. Can you talk about that?
You were going to go there. Yeah. So that's a great place to start. In 2020, beginning of the pandemic, a buddy of mine who I grew up with, very close with, reintroduced me to the hobby, and he was on Facebook and Instagram, basically hosting live breaks, and it was basically the first time I had seen anything like it. And I was at first, a little bit hesitant, thought it was a little bit cheesy. Like, what is this, what is this guy doing? As a grown adult opening packs of sports cards for other adults, it just felt like really strange, right? And as I engaged with it more and more and started to join the breaks myself to support him, I got super addicted and, found a lot of interest in it. And as a collector, as somebody who has been a sports fan my entire life, love, being able to enjoy a tangible item that holds value as opposed to, a digital asset like a stock or an NFT. I've always love the idea of investing in something that you're passionate about, that you can own and appreciate, enjoy, potentially pass down, to a future generation. And so it was like the perfect match for me. Not to mention, I grew up in the 90s and, I collected Pokemon cards and basketball, baseball cards as a kid. So it was awesome to sort of re-engage with a nostalgic time in my life. And, at the time it was really exciting in the hobby because it was all about the 2019-2020 basketball class, right? There was Zion, Ja, and then you had like all those quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, Hurts, Jordan Love. It's like one of the best QB rookie classes of all time. And this was all happening at once. And so the products were coming out and the hype was there. Zion base cards were selling for like hundreds of dollars. I think a silver PSA 10 Prism at one point was like upwards of 2,000, maybe more. So anyway, it was very easy to get sucked in, and I did. And my buddy, who I mentioned and reintroduced me to the hobby, invited me to start breaking with him under his brand called BOGO Breaks. His name is Paul Bogosian, and the brand is basically, you know, a play on his name, BOGO Breaks. And it was me, Paul, and two other buddies that grew up together that were running live breaks on Instagram, Facebook, primarily. Towards the end, we also started to break on Whatnot, but really focused a lot of our attention on Instagram. And so I was doing that for the better part of the pandemic between 2020 and 2021. When things started to return to a state of normalcy, we all kind of slowed down with it. You know, we were basically alternating breaking every night. And then, you know, towards the end of 2021, it was basically like once or twice a week, depending on, you know, what product was coming out and, you know, who had time. But we were all kind of just, you know, refocused on our careers and moving on. And I was the one who kind of still, you know, continued with it, you know, from the other side of the fence, where I was participating in breaks, other breakers, buying personals, collecting, watching the, you know, the crates of cards pile up to the ceiling and just eventually spiral out of control. And so, you know, we still post on there sometimes. We still like buy, sell, trade, and engage with, you know, customers or people that we have done deals with in the past. So that page does still exist, but we no longer break on it. I should take that back, actually. Paul and one of the other guys, Tony, I think they went live like a month or two ago to open up UFC. But yeah.
One thing I'll ask you before I get to the next question is, could you move maybe a couple of inches away from the microphone? Because I'm getting a little bit too much. Yeah, like somewhere in between that and where you were. Yeah, kind of like that. That might help. Yeah, move. Awesome. Thank you. So not that it matters too much. I did want to ask you, though, what were you breaking? Actually, maybe it does matter, because in the sense of like, what sports were you breaking, and were those the sports that you collect? Because I know some people like to do just one type of collecting, but then they break another. I mean, I've heard that from some folks, but let me know what sports or what genres were you breaking, and who do you like, or who do you PC, and who do you collect? Oh no. Now, I think you might've disconnected your microphone, 'cause I can't hear you now.
What about now?
Yes. Now I can. Go ahead.
I'm just posting real quick that we're live on my story.
Okay.
And then I'll answer your question, but
sure.
Want to try to get some of the followers in the room if we can.
Sure. Okay. As you do that, this neighborhood cat wants to come on my lap and is now messing with me. Okay. So
neighborhood cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Just cat likes to, as soon as I'm comfortable, it's time to want attention from me. So that's just kind of how it goes. But yeah, I did post that we were live on my Instagram as well.
Okay.
Was kind of looking for any questions. If people had any questions, I don't see any roll in, and I don't see any questions in the chat. But I'll kind of get to that in a moment. But yeah, so what were you breaking, and what do you collect?
So we were primarily breaking basketball, football, baseball. I actually started out as the baseball guy because they were doing football and basketball. Paul was doing football. Tony was doing basketball. Other guy, Joe, was doing a little bit of both. And then I was just like the baseball guy. And then it got to a point where all three of us were just rotating and doing all three sports. This was also before like some of these secondary sports really blew up and became, you know, incredibly popular in the hobby. You know, those sports being like UFC, WWE, F1, women's basketball. Of course, you know, there's a whole other side of it with TCG. I don't know, like there's like Marvel and Disney and all that sort of stuff fall under the same umbrella as TCG, or is it like more so just like trading cards? I guess, well, like somewhere in between.
You know, the term TCG is the trading card game part. And game, I think that, right, Lorcana would be a TCG because there's a trading, there's like a tournament aspect to it, a game gamification or gameplay. And then Marvel, like let's say, you know, the most recent, I can't remember what it's called, like 19, Was it 1987? I see that. I wish I hadn't. 1994, something. X-Men Top Spine is 1994. Yeah. That has no actual, like, say, points, and they're not used in, like, tournament play. Those are just kind of like characters. So I think Magic the Gathering, certainly Pokemon is a TCG because they have the stats and the combat points and all that stuff.
Right. So it depends which product.
Yeah, but yeah, I would say Marvel. You know, I remember as a kid, Marvel Masterpieces was like a huge thing. Of course, back then the packs were like $1, $2. The artwork was beautiful, but it didn't break the bank. I think that, you know, before we get to maybe what you do collect, like back then, like it was, wax has always been a gamble. It's always been a gamble. It's just that gamble is now, gambling. It went from penny slots to $1,000, you know, swings of the jackpot of the slot machine.
Right.
So that's the issue I think a lot of people have. But did you become the baseball guy because you like baseball more?
Not really. I'm just knowledgeable. I think I was like the only knowledgeable baseball guy. But I do like all three sports. I would say pretty evenly. It's hard, right? Because like it really depends on the season and like the teams. Like I'm a Yankee fan. I grew up watching, or like I grew up rooting for the Miami Dolphins, but they're just like notoriously, you know, not good. And then like for basketball, I kind of lean towards the Knicks, but like, you know, as good as they are this year, this team kind of like irks me a little bit. I don't know why. Like I love Brunson, but lately he's just been flopping so much, and like Carl Anthony Towns is so obnoxious with his like, you know, this whole zesty thing he's got going on.
So, but just so like you the are way a, they play, I don't you know. You are a New York City guy then.
Yeah, I'm from the Tri-State area, born and raised in North Jersey. Work in and around Manhattan. My wife works in Manhattan. We actually just moved from Jersey City, which is a town right outside of Manhattan, to the suburbs in Jersey. But yeah, born and raised.
You know, it's really not by design, but I have such a string of New York City guests. I don't know if it's because I connect with them better online, on Instagram or whatever it is, but you know, so thank you for taking the time and you know, from your schedule with, you know, coming from the tri-state area. So you are kind of like a New York fan, a New York teams fan, but somehow Miami Dolphins, which, you know, you don't have to explain. I mean, I don't know if you're a 90s kid, but I know that, you know, even post perfect season, you just had the Dan Marino, you know, Irving Fryer years and all this stuff. So maybe not recently that they've been good, but I don't know if they were good in your childhood. But I know with a lot of kind of, I don't know, mental health or kind of like improving yourself, it does kind of go back to like who you were or what you were as a kid.
Right. Yeah. No, I grew up in the 90s. I was born in 89. I'm 35. So, you know, the Chicago Bulls era, just like watching the Bulls Jazz finals, you know, obviously the Knicks with Ewing and Allen Houston and John Starks, like that's all like deeply rooted in my upbringing.
Okay. So that's the foundational base. You know, you PC kind of like the New York teams, you were a breaker with baseball, and you have seen, I guess, before we get to what we're current, you know, the current state of things and collectors MD.
Yeah.
Did you, as a breaker, see, like, you know how some bartenders, some of the more responsible ones, where if someone is drinking too much, they cut them off. Yeah. I've heard the similar analogy occur with breakers. Some of the better or more socially responsible breakers, even if it's against their own, you know, financial benefit or gain, they'll just kind of say, hey, you know, love you. You're a great supporter. You spent a lot of money. I can't accept more of your money. Have you ever gotten to that point with some of your buyers?
So it's a great question, first of all. And, I have spoken to a handful of breakers who have acknowledged that and have said or stated that there are certain, customers or, you know, circumstances where they will cut off that person if they feel like they're spiraling. And I think that's really important. And it's a huge part of what we're doing with Collectors MD to push reform. But as far as like from my perspective as a breaker, when I was breaking, and again, this was like 4 or 5 years ago, it was such a different landscape, right? Like the environment now with like the Whatnot and Fanatics live streams, you know, the breaker playing the role of the dealer, the marketer, the hype man, and, you know, still breaking the cards and like all like the overlays and the music and the sound effects and everything else. It's just, it has like casino written all over it. I mean, like the repacks, it's like a carnival, right? When we were breaking on Instagram, it was like so much more tamed, man. Like we were doing like one hobby box divisionals, $80 a spot. Like, you know, we would hop on for like one or two of those, and that was like the extent of it. You know, we did have nights where like we would open personals for, you know, one guy who we at the time considered like a whale, and we would like see that same person spend a lot of money with other breakers. But like those people generally, you had a sense that they just like had a lot of money because of how they were spending it, and it didn't seem like it was a problem at the time. Now it's like the Wild West. I mean, you go in there and like these spots are going for, and we're talking about like one team or like one player. When they're selling these spots, they're going for like upwards of $2,000 to $3,000 to $4,000 to $5,000. I mean, I think I saw We the Hobby selling spots in their repack break for like 10 grand plus. I mean, it's just like, it's mind boggling that like, you know, but like ultimately what it is it's a $10,000 spin on the roulette wheel, you know, there's no other, you know, way to.
Yeah, it's not even, you know, roulette wheel is probably a better analogy because I can't remember exactly how many numbers on the roulette wheel, but you know, you got the 0, 0, 0, you got the black and the red, and you have like 36.
Yeah.
Right. So then you have like 32 NFL teams, 30 NBA teams, this and that, and then I forget whatever, like 32 MLB teams. You really do, if you buy one spot, it is like picking one out of like the entire wheel. It's not a 50-50 proposition. It is not a divisional. It's not a 1 in 4 chance, 1 in 8 chance. You really are like picking one spot, and it's, and not only do you have to hit, I mean, not only do you have to get, you have to like hit like the main auto in one box or the 12 autos in a case. Like you have to have like the best, you know, quote unquote, like hit.
It's what's insane. So crazy about that is like the roulette wheel before a spin, like every single number is pretty much like even in the grand scheme of things. I mean, you could look at like the history of like the spins within that like wheel, and like, you know, in terms of the odds of the next number being, you
people
know,
think there's, yeah, but there's zero correlation. But
dude, there's zero. Every single spin is a fresh spin, unless, of course, like the ball is weighted, and that's like, you know, a whole nother, you know, conversation for another day, ethics of casinos and such. But the irony is, like, you know, I was saying all those numbers are for the most part equal to one another with these teams. Like, you know, there are 36 numbers on a roulette wheel. There are 32 teams in the NFL. So it's very similar. And you're trying to get one of the better teams, right? Like when you put your money on an inside number for roulette, like you're not trying to put a number, you're not trying to beat anybody to like get to a certain number or like try to like win, you know, the chance at putting your money on the number 15 or something like that. It's like the way that these breakers sell these spots, it's like if you get the Washington Commanders in a 2024 product break, it's like it's a win. If you get one of the chasers, as they call them now, it's like, oh my God, you got a chaser like that. You've already won. And it's like the irony, the oxymoron is that like you didn't win anything. Like you now have a chance at potentially you know, getting whatever players come out of the box that are assigned to your team, but the chances of that actually happening are still so marginal. So it's like you first have to get the team, the right team, then you have to make sure, or not make sure, but like then you have to get lucky enough to get the right box that has the right cards, and then that, like, the player that comes out has to be the right parallel, and you know, yes, you get into absolutely like semantics and jersey right numbers and 101s and short prints and case hits. It's like, right, it's so exhausting to even think about, but like the manufacturers, I hate to say it, but like they just do such an incredible job. Maybe incredible is the wrong adjective, but they just do such a good job of marketing this stuff and making it so that, you know, their consumer just keeps coming back every single week, every single month, every year. You know, like Optic is like all the you know, craze right now, right? Be Optic Football, because it just came out and this is one of the best rookie QB classes we've ever seen. You know, we're just talking about 2020, but 2024 potentially could be like right on that same level, just in terms of like the talent and like the volume, the number of quarterbacks that are, you know, going to potentially start and be successful. And you know, it's insane how we're seeing all of these new products come out. We were just talking about Optic and the case hits, the downtowns. Like most of the downtowns on the checklist are veterans, right? And they're the same players you see every single year on those checklists, right? You see Mahomes, you see Josh Allen, you see Burrow, you see all of these veterans, even like the retired players like Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Steve Young, John Elway. They always have downtowns. They always have kabooms. They always have the same short prints that all these consumers are chasing. It's just like slightly different for that year. So like, how rare is it really, right? Like how many one of ones of the same downtown of the same player have they actually made? It's so oversaturated, but Panini and Topps Fanatics, they do such a fantastic job marketing this stuff that people will always come back. They'll always keep buying. It doesn't matter how many they produce, people will still eat it up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I want to kind of delve more into this analogy with like either roulette or the casino or the gambling aspect of the hobby, because, you know, and please correct me if you think otherwise, but my understanding of, say, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, gambling, yeah, Gamblers Anonymous, is complete abstinence. It's do not drink. You know, you've had your last drink of, right, you know, you can't expect an alcoholic to socially drink. Like it's abstinence. Same thing with drugs, narcotics, same thing with gambling. My understanding is it's not, you're in Gamblers Anonymous, you can still participate in, you know, go to a sports book and just hang out, don't bet, right? But you guys have positioned yourselves, and we can get into the whole MD part of the collectors in a little bit, but collectors MD that you're trying to create is, you're saying you're not anti-hobby, right? So you are still kind of okay with people being in the hobby, but not the breaking part of the hobby, like the gambling part of the hobby. Cause my, you know, before I let you answer, like buying singles is a gamble too, because these prices go up and down, the market goes up and down, player performance goes up and down. So let's say you do buy, you know, something that's steadily, even as simple as, you know, just, you know, a base Jaden Daniels PSA 10, you know, rookie card, right? Not even silver, but for like a low amount of money, that card will fluctuate in price. So, you know, kind of speak to that if you could, please.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it's something that has come up time and time again over the last, you know, 6 weeks or so since I launched Collectors MD. It's like the biggest question that I've gotten. And that is, you know, wait, if this is like gambling, shouldn't the goal be to quit collecting altogether? And it's a totally fair question, especially when you compare it to programs like GA and AA and NA, where full abstinence, like you said, is the standard. But here's the core difference. Collecting isn't inherently destructive. It's not the act of buying cards, you know, comics, sneakers, memorabilia, whatever collectible we're talking about. That's, you know, not necessarily the problem. It's the relationship we develop with them. So for some people, that relationship becomes obsessive, compulsive, harmful. for others, it stays fun, balanced, and therapeutic. So there are layers to it, right? And everyone's threshold is different. Some people can set a budget, stick to it, occasionally, you know, rip and be totally fine. Others might find that once they start, they just can't stop and they just keep chasing. They're hiding purchases from their, you know, family, loved ones, significant others. They feel guilty. They feel shame afterwards. And for those individuals, the answer might be full abstinence. So, or, you know, at least a long committed break. So we're not anti-collecting. We are, you know, we are pro-hobby, but what we are more importantly is pro-honesty. It's about helping people figure out what kind of collector they are and whether they can participate in the hobby in a way that's responsible, sustainable, and healthy, right? So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's not like necessarily a one-size-fits-all solution. Recovery in this space isn't about like rigid rules. It's about reclaiming control, setting boundaries, and finding a relationship within the hobby that adds to your life, adds value to your life instead of draining it.
Yeah. And thank you. Really well said. And J2 Comics, thank you for being in the chat and watching live. And he says, you're right. It is a lot and it's important to set boundaries. So boundaries is like the operative word, honesty, operative word. These are really important things. So, I mean, we talk about mental health and boundaries and all that stuff. So the MD part of Collector's MD does not stand for medical doctor. None of you and the people who are helping run kind of Collector's MD is not, you guys are not trained mental health professionals, but can you kind of explain what that part is about?
Yeah. So the MD, when I came up with the brand, when I came up with the idea of Collectors MD, it would actually originally was supposed to be Collectors Anonymous, but I wanted it to be more approachable. I wanted it to be, something that anybody can be involved with, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who has a problem, because at the end of the day, the hobby is all about community. It's all about building relationships, making new friends, meeting new people. And eventually you're going to run into somebody who might have a little bit of a problem. So it's about creating awareness for others, to help others. So when you see a gambling ad and at the bottom, there's a disclaimer that says, if you or a loved one has a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, right? That obviously mm-hmm. doesn't exist right now in the hobby, and that's what we're trying to change. But they always add that, additional, if you know somebody or if a loved one, has a problem, make sure to reach out. It's so, so important for us in the hobby collectively as a community to look out for one another. And so, that doesn't exactly answer why I came up with MD, but again, I just wanted it to be more approachable. Now, with that said, after creating it and moving forward with it, I realized that a lot of people would question me and ask if I was a, medical doctor or a trained and licensed therapist, or if we're based in Maryland, which none of the above apply. But what I have turned it into is a bit of a play on words. And so if you actually go to our website and scroll to the bottom, there's a disclaimer. And within that disclaimer, it says the MD and Collector's MD is intended to be tongue-in-cheek. We're not medical doctors or licensed therapists, and we're definitely not based in Maryland. That does come up quite a bit. Actually, when I go to my search, I see Maryland everywhere, which is like a little bit annoying, but whatever. But the MD, it's a nod to how real the struggle can feel. And our goal is to help diagnose unhealthy habits and support emotional wellness in the hobby. So we came up with three MDs is what we're calling them: mental detox, money discipline, and or meaningful decisions. So within the recovery guide that we've created for our weekly meetings, there's actually a section in it where we focus on those three MDs. And basically what it says is we believe in practical, sustainable change below our core tools and guiding principles that support healthier spending and hobby participation. The first one being mental detox practices, and it outlines, basically three bullets that are associated with that. And then there's money discipline strategies, same thing, three bullets, and then making meaningful decisions, again, three bullets. So we ended up turning it into kind of like a core pillar of the brand and something that we are focused on as a part of the journey towards recovery.
Okay. So I'm sharing it on the screen here for those of you who are watching live or watching the replay on video on YouTube or video podcast. So, you know, really good testimonials in here. Certainly, you know, there's a lot of good information on collectorsmd.com, and I'll put that in the chat as well. Let me stop sharing the screen. Let me come back to the chat and just say collectorsmd.com. So here's a thing, okay? And this, I don't think this is like the $64,000 question, but I mean, maybe it's a good segue. So earlier today, so I have collectorsmd.com up on the screen here, but we have, not anonymous, but he's in the chat and he said this, but I'll just say his first name for the audio. Michael says, "What are you talking about? I just joined." And then he said, "Okay, never mind. Goodbye." So why do I highlight that? The reason I highlight that is even if you do make it seem as approachable as possible, I mean, I think there are a lot of people who, again, it's the stages of grief and all that, but like they are in such denial. And again, yeah, this is not about Michael, but I feel like much like a lot of things that we have been told to attend in life, the people who attend things are usually the ones who, if you willfully go into something, you almost like don't need it. Like, let's say there's a free training on diversity in your workplace, right? And they're like, it's not mandatory. If you want to go, you can go. The people who are open-minded or who want to learn how to be, say, you know, an ally will go to those. It's the people who aren't allies, the people who are the ones who maybe need that diversity training the most, who should be in that classroom or the virtual meeting, but they're the ones who are not there, right? So you've created this space. My concern, you know, and I know we can talk about like the first meeting and the subsequent meetings, but my worry is the people who need it the most are going to be the most resistant to even considering this, either because one, they think that they don't have a problem. Two, they think, oh, wow, I've been doing really well in breaks. I don't need this. I'm actually making money. And three, just kind of like, oh, it's none of your business. You know, I don't need, you know, who are you to tell me how to spend my money? All three of those are rooted in denial. It's denial of the actual reality of the situation. And so, you know, this person who just jumped in is like, oh, what did I just come into? Oh, it's about that. It's about that topic. It's about gambling addiction. It's about, you know, breaking culture and, you know, compulsive spending. Like, I don't want to hear that. I want to, the hobby's fun. I just want to have a lot of fun. Alex, you're not the fun police. Tell me what you think about what I just said.
Yeah. I mean, denial is everywhere. And honestly, you know, it's something that for a long time, like I told myself those same things. Like, you know, I'm super passionate. It's not that serious. I can afford this, you know, at the end of the day, like I'll just sell some more cards to make up for this loss. I even, you know, at one point framed it as like a business, and that's how I justified it to like my wife. It's like, well, I'm breaking, I'm profiting, I'm, you know, buying and selling, and I'm being like, I'm really savvy with it. Like, I know what I'm doing, right? With like the flippers mentality. So in my head, like it felt justified, right? But behind the scenes, like I was overspending, I was hiding packages, I was constantly chasing that next big hit, and it stopped being fun and started feeling like something that, you know, I had to do. And even when people, you know, close to me started to say, like, you're kind of getting a little bit out of control here. Like, how many more cards do you need? It actually started with the sneakers, which you see behind me. I at one point had over 500 pairs of sneakers, and the sneakers turned into cards as I got older. But, you know, there were red flags, and I just kind of always brushed them off because I didn't want to hear it, you know. And that's the thing about denial. It's not always dramatic. It sometimes can be really quiet, and you know, it's rational sounding, and it's incredibly hard to break out of that until you're ready to be open and honest with yourself. And so personally for me, like that's why I started Collectors MD, not because I figured it out or like, you know, I'm on my high horse, you know, acting like I saw the light at the end of the tunnel and I am now fully healed. That's not the case whatsoever. But it's, you know, because I personally need the space too, right? It's cathartic. It's therapeutic for me. And I knew that I couldn't be the only one. So it allows me to help myself while also giving back, if that makes sense. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, denial is human nature. We all want to believe we've got it under control. But for some people, like, that line between love and loss gets super blurry. And those are usually the folks that are most resistant to hearing it. They don't want to be told they might have a problem, especially when the hobby is, you know, their escape, right? And for me, the hobby and gambling, those like, that was my escape. So, you know, with Collectors MD, we don't come in with judgment or shame. We don't tell people what they should or shouldn't do. Like, you know, with, we talked about GA, where it's like they tell you gambling is the devil and you can never do it again a day in your life. All we're trying to do is just share our own stories, offer support, and create a space for people to reflect at their own pace. Because sometimes, like, the first seed of change comes from hearing someone say, I've been there too. So, you know, you can't force recovery, but, you know.
Right, right. Okay, so before we get into the recovery, you know, first meeting and subsequent ones, I don't know how many people in the chat and people who are watching this are going to know what's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. So I'm just going to read the AI overview of it. It says the Dunning-Kruger effect describes a cognitive bias where individuals with low competence in a specific area overestimate their abilities, while highly competent individuals may underestimate their relative expertise. This bias leads to overconfidence in the unskilled and the lack of confidence in the skilled. Now, I knew about this fact. I thought it was more about the individuals with low competence. I kind of forgot about the second part, the latter half, which is about the highly competent individuals underestimating their relative expertise. But when it comes to the Dunning-Kruger effect in the hobby, like, the reason I bring up this, I don't even know what to call it, a scientific theory or some sort of, you know, like a bias, you know, again, I'm not well-versed in all of this at all, but I do know of this. But the reason I bring it up is because I feel that a lot of people think that they are good or can, it's because of the low barrier to entry in every single freaking thing in this hobby, whether, you know, and I'm not just talking about collecting, but I'm talking about flipping, repacking, breaking, setting up as a vendor at a show, setting up your own eBay account. Like, my whole concept of the Card Diary by Hobby S. Thompson was, Hunter S. Thompson was like, I'm just going to try a lot of different things and see what, you know, not what I'm good at or bad at, but he would just embed himself into different situations and try different things. You know, the master of none, jack of all trades. So that's, you know, we're at episode 113, like the original episode. The whole reason for this podcast existing is pretty much the Dunning-Kruger effect in full display in the hobby. Me, myself, trying different things. And so I think that it is what I've learned is, you know, what I like to do, what I don't like to do, what I'm good at, what I'm not good at. But it really is anyone who has a pulse and a little bit of money feels like they can do really anything in this hobby, because no one really can tell them no because of the whole wild, wild west mentality or atmosphere that we currently are in. Mm-hmm. We do have this people watching things on YouTube thinking, you know, I've definitely had people say, you've inspired me, Denny, to try, you know, to try a podcast, to set up as a vendor, to, you know, to do this or do that, and, you know, try my own YouTube. And I'm like, really flattered. It's really nice. It really costs you nothing to create a podcast or YouTube channel or to sell on eBay. But I think there is a danger when, again, if you spend too much money in it. So again, if you are, say, not even just a breaker or buying into breaks, but if you're a flipper and you just can't get your accounting straight and you think you're a good flipper, but you are just underwater on cards, or you've bought a lot of bricks, or you're actually not as good, not as savvy on a business transaction side of the hobby, you have a cognitive bias. You think you can do it. And a lot of people are realizing, you know, I can't. Or, hey, sports cards were hot. It was easy to transact in the hobby. But now it's like, oh, Pokemon's hot, so I better jump to Pokemon. So I actually see a lot of people, their vendor tables are flipping from sports 100% zero Pokemon to 50-50 to now zero sports 100% Pokemon.
Yeah, this is like all really, really good points. I love that you brought up something that's scientific in nature, like an actual theory that ties to this directly. And I mean, I think you really hit the nail on the head, right? Like in the context of collecting, someone starts ripping, they're flipping cards, they're chasing slabs. And after a few wins, they start thinking they've got it all figured out. Like they're some sort of expert. They're a market analyst. Like they're a dealer now, right? Like, meanwhile, they're drowning in credit card debt. They're stuck holding piles of bulk that they can't move. So, you know, it's not about like being stupid. It's not, it's about like not yet knowing what you don't know, if that makes sense. Yeah. And it's like, you're, it's super dangerous, right?
Right.
Like, cause in a hobby that's in, sorry, my wife's calling me.
Okay. Sorry. My
phone's blown up. You know, it's crazy. You know, the hobby is like designed to be fast and flashy and full of FOMO. Hold on one sec. She's calling me again. Let me text her. I should have told her that I was doing
live. Why don't you go on pause for just a minute and I'll just kind of talk about this. So about the whole people. Okay. So I'm reading off Wikipedia here. It says, according to psychologist Robert D. McIntosh and his colleagues, it is sometimes understood in popular culture as the claim that, and this is the quote, stupid people are too stupid to know that they are stupid. Man, that is a lot of the hobby. It is from the transactional side. Again, not the collector side. I mean, there is no stupidity in collecting. I mean, you collect what you love, buy what you love. But the thing about that whole mantra of buy what you love is it really is this kind of like nice way of just seeing like, hey, don't be in the transactional side of the hobby. Like, but, you know, my inverse to that is don't buy what you love if you want to flip it. It's like, you know, hate what you flip, right? It's almost like I don't love baseball and football as much as I love basketball. So it's hard for me to sell my Michael Jordan cards. It just is. I mean, I'm high on them or I don't have room on them. I'm not flexible on them because I'd rather just keep it. So it would take more money for someone, for me to let go of my Jordan cards, whereas a flipper would be like, oh, I just need to get at least a margin, like, you know, 5%, 10%, you know, as long as I make $20 off this transaction, you know, I'm okay. I don't care about the card. So a lot of people, and this is the flipper mentality, is like the cards are merely just the conduit to financial success. It's like they literally do not care about cards. And so that's why they're okay moving to Pokemon, and they were previously in sneakers where were hot earlier too. So, you know, it is the whole stupid people are too stupid to know they are stupid. I'm going to put that in the chat too for people who come out later, but I'm going to stop sharing screen and I'm going to give you the floor now.
There we go.
I don't know if you heard me, but yeah.
I heard everything you said. Yeah, that was weird. When my wife FaceTimed me, it was connected to my computer. So it like completely malfunctioned, but apologize for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it all makes complete sense. And you brought up a point before about how people are like flipping from sports cards to Pokemon because like that's what's hot. That's like what's hyped. And it's Pokemon's always hyped, right? It's like that's been a pillar of the collecting world for decades now, to the point where, like, you know, talk about vintage cards, like Pokemon falls in that mix with like the original, you know, 98 Charizard, whatever year it came out. But it's just like it kind of makes me sad to an extent, just like how much hype drives what people are collecting. It's like it's not about passion or meaning or connection. It's literally just hype. And again, it just like, it makes me sad to see people buying whatever cards, sneakers, comics, you know, any type of collectible, not just because they love them, but because they're afraid of missing out. They have that sense of FOMO because a YouTuber or an influencer or, you know, Roth cards, I don't mean to like call anybody out, but like, they're like, oh, this is hot. You got to buy this now. You got to hop on this athlete. Everybody's got to do it. Because like at the end of the day, everyone on their feed is ripping the same product, right? And I get it, you know, I've been there, we all have, but when hype becomes the compass, you start losing sense of why you started collecting in the first place. And it becomes less about joy and more about chasing the next big thing, just to feel that you're, you know, still in it. And so, like, I was just going to say, to like tie it all together, like tie it back to Collectors MD, you know, one of the big reasons why I started it was to help people reconnect with intention, you know, collecting for a purpose, collecting in what you love, what you believe in, to remind folks it's okay to sit on the sidelines sometimes, that it's okay to collect for you, not for the algorithm. Because when all the hype fades, and it always does, you know, what's hot today is forgotten tomorrow. What's left should be something that still matters to you. And that's really, really important to me.
J2 says a really, really good thing. And Glad earlier was like, yeah, are you guys talking about the Dunning-Kruger effect? And says, what's up? Thank you for being here, Glad. J2, flipping cards sounds fun and easy, but finding a buyer is sometimes harder than it looks. Absolutely. And Brandon just now says, finding a way to replace the dopamine rush. You know, it's really interesting that former, and I've heard this, you know, again, it's just allegorical, just, you know, just data points, discrete data points, and not like a general trend. But alcoholics, when they're in the recovery, they find something else to be addicted to. Gamblers, we have a lot of people who stopped gambling on, you know, going to sports books, but are now in the hobby. There are people who have done drugs who, they stop drugs, but they smoke up a chimney because they need something to be addicted to.
Like,
there's something to replace the dopamine rush.
You know,
and, go ahead.
It's crazy how, for me, like, so a couple days ago, I met with the owner of a local facility. It's called Right Choice Recovery. It's here in Jersey. They're based in Dayton, New Jersey, and they offer service and therapy and recovery programs for people with all sorts of addiction, alcohol, narcotics, gambling. And we're talking about, you know, I don't want to jump the gun, but we're talking about ways to potentially partner and, you know, add this sort of division within what they offer. So the guy who founded it, his name is Rob Sackwitz. He's a great guy. Really, really cares about people and helping them find purpose in life and you know, just getting on the right path. And he himself was a compulsive gambler, and he was millions and millions of dollars in debt. And what he did was he took the negative in his life and he turned it into a positive and made it his best asset, right? And that, in a way, like, I wasn't like consciously thinking that when I started Collectors MD, but for me, this has, in a lot of ways, replaced that sort of itch, that dopamine rush that my body is craving, right? Because it's giving me a sense of purpose. And at the end of the day, like, you can't control it. Like, the dopamine is real. It's a real chemical, and your brain starts to literally crave it. And it's you know, at the end of the day, it's not about the cards anymore. It's not about, like, the packs. It's all about chasing that feeling. And the danger is, like, once your brain gets used to those spikes, you need to feel
higher stakes. Yeah.
Every day. Otherwise, everything is, like, dull. It's a drug. It's quite literally a drug. So you can't just tell somebody, like, just to stop spending or to take a break. It doesn't work that way. Like, addiction is addiction. You're not just stopping a habit, you're removing a source of, like, emotional stimulation. And so, you know, that's why in recovery we talk so much about replacing that rush. So I think everybody just has to find new ways to get that same reward. Like, for me, it was starting Collectors MD. Like, it might be a movement, another movement, creativity, community, helping someone, exercise, you know, progress towards a goal, something that lights your brain up in a healthier way. Some of these, like, sound, obviously some of that sounds like kind of canned and cheesy, but, like, you just have to find what works for you that helps you and doesn't harm you or those around you.
So,
because if you don't replace it, you're going to feel empty. And
so breaking a course, if you get into, like, a high, you know, dollar amount, it can get destructive if you're getting crushed and you're, you know, racking up credit card bills. If you have a money tree, or if you're super rich, it doesn't matter losing in several thousand dollar breaks, because that's, you know, that's play money. That's, you know, that's petty cash. But for the most of Americans or people who are ever watching, because I know I do have an international audience, is, you know, my question to you is, what is another way within the hobby, not exercise or, you know, eating healthy or, you know, doing other things that are therapeutic and good for you, but do you have any suggestions of different ways to replace the dopamine rush within the hobby? And one example before I let you answer is, could that be doing personal wax, or is that just another way of, again, like breaking culture just has like 32 teams, 36 spots on the roulette wheel. You got to hit the team. If it's a random break, you know, if it's like pick your own team, then you're just paying a lot for the Commanders. But if it's a random team, not only you have to get the Commanders, if it's 2024 because of Jaden Daniels and the rookie class, and then you got to hit the downtown in order to justify the amount spent. But
yeah,
what if you just buy a box of Donruss Optic, which I recently did. I mean, I spent $250 on a fat pack box. Yeah. But I know I can, I know it's not irresponsible for me to buy a box of that. So what, is buying your own personal wax a way to replace dopamine rush? And two, if it's not, what is?
So that's, I mean, it's such a tough question to answer because every person is different and it's like case by case, you know. For me personally, I tried that exactly what you just suggested. I tried to stop joining breaks and just opening personals, but that ended up for me becoming like an even worse habit because the personals were so much more expensive. And these days, like, you know, the way these cases are designed, 9 out of the 12 boxes are duds. And then like maybe one or two, you might come close to breaking even. And then like one might have like the big hit. And in most cases, like if you count up every single card within a case, or like you value every single card in a case, you're most likely not going to find a card that pays for one box, let alone the entire case. So like I would just chase to the point where, like, you know, by the time I hit something that scratched that itch, I've already dropped like thousands of dollars. So again, it really depends on the type of person you are. And if you are able to control yourself and be responsible, if you can just go to Walmart with your kid or, you know, with some friends and buy a few fat packs or mega boxes and just scratch that itch by opening those packs, regardless of what you hit, more power to you. But for me, like, that doesn't work because I'm not going to stop until I hit something of note, something that like I can put in my PC or like marvel over. And that's just how I've always been. So it's tough, man. It's tough to like figure out a replacement or a solution within the hobby. There are things I think that you can try to do, but you know, you mentioned like drug addicts smoke cigarettes. It's such a diluted version of the actual drug that it's really hard to replace. So if you are that deep and you feel that, you know, you need that dopamine rush and, you know, you can't cope without it, it might be more beneficial to you to just take a step back and take some time away from the hobby completely. I'm not saying like self-exclude forever, because obviously you can't even do that like you can with gambling. But it might make more sense for you to just like pause, take some time to yourself, focus on other things that make you happy, and, you know, figure out a better solution for your lifestyle. I mean, again, there's so many layers to it. Cause like, on the other hand, if you do have some control and you are responsible, like you could do things like, you know, just organizing and cataloging the collection you already have. You know, you could just focus on like research and education and like, you know, monitoring the newest releases and just like being a bystander and watching the breaks. You know, you can like trade the cards you do have instead of buying new ones or ripping boxes. You can create content, storytelling. There's actually a young lady that has been a huge advocate of Collectors MD from the start. And I've actually been talking to her about potentially doing some collaborating on some content together, because I think she's really talented. I'd actually love for you to bring up her page if you don't mind, but I think like she's a perfect example of somebody who collects with intent, and it's clear that she doesn't like overspend or like extend beyond her means, but she curates her collection in like such a beautiful way that clearly like she's super passionate about it, and she's probably just as happy, if not more happy, than those collectors that are chasing the logo men or like the, you know, the six figure cards in the hobby. And so her name is Bullseye Breaks. Her name is Maya. I've met her over video, and she has a beautiful page where she hones in on like the players that she PCs. It's Bullseye_Breaks. So I think she PCs like Bobby Witt and like Shota Imanaga and Seiya Suzuki. And she photographs them in like a very unique way that like really stands out. And like, again, clearly like that is her passion. Like she loves photography. She loves curating. And you could do that without spending your entire life savings, you know? So.
Yes. Thank you for that. So I don't want to go into her page, not because I'm like, no, she didn't pay me to, and got to sponsor this, this whole thing. It's more of, we're almost at an hour, and I don't want to go too much over an hour. And I want to read some really good comments in the chat. That said, as a reminder, this is the second sponsor read. This is today's episode on the Card Diary by Hobbyist Thompson / Hobby Hangout, live on YouTube and available on replay on YouTube and all wherever you get your podcasts, is me. I am sponsoring my own today. I have a trade night for sports cards and Pokemon at the Garden ALX, 5380 Eisenhower Avenue in Alexandria, Virginia. It's hosted by me. I'm going to have some hobby companies jump in and give some giveaways and have some food. We're going to have a great time. Free for all ages. Again, if you are within driving distance from Alexandria, Virginia, and in the DMV, it is a Thursday night, so it may not be so great for kids who have school the next day, especially if they have to drive more than, like, I don't know, 40 minutes. But it is May 15th. It's from 6 to 9:30 p.m. That said, the Snickerdoodle crowd is out in full force. Orange Slices says, is Pokemon packs gambling? Connor says, sorry for being late, Denny. Not a problem at all. Don't have to apologize. Before we get to Orange Slices' question, I wanted to kind of stay on this analog to, you know, we've had some comparisons with gambling, comparisons with addiction of, like, you know, say cigarettes. So Brandon, a really good back-to-back comments. He says, personal wax to me feels like replacing cigarettes with vaping. I spent just as much on personal wax rabbit holes. Thank you for your honesty, Brandon, and great analogy there. Really like that. He also says, that said, spending time just talking in local card shops and focusing on things that emphasize the community aspect helped a lot. Thank you, Brandon. That is a concrete, real example of what maybe is not going to directly one-to-one replace the dopamine rush. But again, the hype machine, the chases, the roulette wheels, the casino aspect of things, it's so hard to, you know, it's marketing 101. It's capitalism 101. It's easy to kind of get into all that, but just appreciating what you have. And again, if we always, and it's so sad, a lot of these breakers go, the community, I'm all about the community, I'm all for the people. It's for the buying community. That they don't care about you. If you're not spending money, if you're not a whale, if they don't have your number to text you and say, hey, jumping on this break, I'm having a hard time filling it, or all these teams are going for too low. These big breakers have their big whales who are able to jump in. They have their numbers and they text them and they say, jump in so I don't get destroyed or killed. And these whales will oblige. And Liz, sure, I'll just jump in. You're my friend. You text me happy birthday because you know my birthday, and you read my comments out in the chat, and you laugh at my jokes in the chat. They're just doing that. It's like the it's the a pretty girl bartender who's flirting with you at the bar, so you buy more drinks. They don't care about you. They just want your tips. So having said that, focus on what you love, what you have, folks. That's why buying what you love is important, because you don't want to look at a card and go, oh my gosh, I remember I spent $1,000 on that break to get a $500 card. But if you have that $500 card, it's great. It's nice to look at. So Brandon here says, spending time just talking in local card shops, that's actual community building. LCSs, yes, they might have higher price wax than online or on breaks or whatever, but they actually have the brick and mortar. It is a third space. It is a place for you to go that is not your home and it's not your office, where you can actually have people who are like-minded such as yourself and talk with them about sports, about collecting. And so, Brandon, like, thank you. That's really great. Before I move on to other questions and comments, you know, anything you wanted to touch on that with Alex?
Yeah, I dropped a few comments in the chat while you were talking. I think Brandon hit the nail on the head. I think if you're trying to step down or like replace your addiction with another habit, you're just justifying it. You're basically just, you know, tricking yourself into thinking that you're, you know, replacing it with a better, healthier option. But at the same day, it's the same compulsion, just packaged slightly differently, right? And the same thing can be said about so many different types of addictions. But, you know, as far as like cigarettes versus vaping, like that's so universal, like anybody can understand, you know, that they're neither are good for you. Maybe one is better than the other slightly, but like you're just picking the lesser of two evils, right? And regarding community, like communities is everything, like spending time in your local shop, talking to people, sharing stories, trading, building connections, you know, focusing on relationships. Like that's what grounds you. Like that's what we should be focused on, not just the cardboard. You know, what's incredible about this hobby is that it brings people together. You see the amount of people that come together at trade shows, card shows, the National Fanatics Fest. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, and we can do that now in today's day and age with technology. It allows us to do it together. And I just want to see a community. I want to see a hobby that isn't just all about dollar signs. Everything is a goddamn dollar sign these days, right? It's like the breaks, you get a big hit and all the breaker talks about is how much the card is worth. Wow, it's a nuke. It's worth, this customer turned $10 into $10,000. Like at the end of the day, why can't we just focus on the beauty of the hobby, the card itself, the athlete? Let's celebrate that athlete and their success on or maybe off the field, you know, and maybe you're a fan of that player or that team. Like, let's talk about those things. It doesn't always have to tie back to the monetary value. And I think that's a huge reason why the hobby has been heading in the direction it's been headed in, right? And I don't want to come across as like overly vanilla. Like, I get it at the end of the day. Like I mentioned this in the beginning of the live, like I love the idea of investing in something tangible that you could take home and enjoy and eventually pass down. You know, like if these cards were completely worthless, like would we still collect? Like, you know, that's maybe a conversation for another day, a paradox of sorts. But like at the end of the day, like I'm getting so exhausted from seeing dollar signs everywhere.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I totally agree. And Orange Slices says, is Pokemon packs gambling? Because I, you know, collecting MZ, my understanding is, you know, maybe you did do some Marvel or TCG, but I don't think you got. You're mostly sports cards. Like you never did you ever do Pokemon? Because Pokemon is so different. There's no breaking. The only breaks you get into Pokemon is ripping ships, which is like doing personals, but you're just doing it online with your favorite, you know, person wearing a funny Gengar hat or a Pikachu hat, and you know they talk in different voices, and you know they have personalities, and there's a value to having someone rip and ship. But Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, before I get Alex's, is Pokemon packs. Anything that, again, I think Orange Slate, who wrote RNG? RNG stands for Random Number Generator. Yes. Since the beginning of the hobby, since the beginning of sports cards or TCG cards, we're literally talking about a pack that has some cards in it that you do not know, that you do not know what's in that pack. Whether it was cigarette, tobacco cards, gum wrapper cards, you know, tops. We're talking about like the, you know, the earliest of the early cards. You did not know what you were getting. So, you know, when you literally as a consumer, anything you buy at a grocery store, you know what you're getting. You buy milk, you know you're getting milk. You buy, you know, let's not talk about the price of eggs here, but if you buy eggs, you know you're getting eggs.
When not always.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe there's some broken eggs, or maybe someone stole some eggs. No, but yeah, you know, you're buying uncertainty, and you're hoping for something that's worth the value of the box or more. So,
right.
The random number generator aspect of both the Pokemon and sports cards side of the hobby, I think, is it can be dangerous. Now, there's a big difference between $1,000 box of Prism. I'm not even talking Flawless and Transcendence, which are like five figure boxes or whatever, but or cases. But you know, Orange Slices. If you are literally buying a $5 pack, right, or like one Elite Trainer box for $60, I know some of them are more with Prismatic and Surging Sparks and the reprints and this and that and English versus Japanese versus Korean and all these different versions of Pokemon. But, you know, it's much more easy, especially if you're a kid. Like if you're a kid who gets their money or allowance from their mom or dad and be like, hey, mom or dad, you know, can I buy a $60 Elite Trainer box? To the mom or dad, that's much more palatable and approachable and easy than, hey, mom or dad, can I buy that $500 box of Bowman Chrome? Right? So there's a big difference, I think. What do you think, Alex?
You nailed it. I mean, okay, so let's just like define gambling plainly, right? Okay. Gambling is when you stake something of value and you put money on the table. On an outcome that's uncertain in hopes of a reward. And by that definition, ripping packs, whether it's Pokemon, sports cards, or even digital collectibles, is absolutely gambling. You're putting up money. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know the contents of the pack or the box, and you're hoping what's inside is worth more or what you paid, right? It doesn't matter if it's licensed by a card company or wrapped in shiny foil. If the outcome is unknown and there's a risk factor involved, it's gambling in disguise. And, you know, manufacturers are marketing that to children. Let's remember that. And they have been for many, many decades and even centuries. And here's the kicker. You know, that rush you feel when you open a pack, that's the same dopamine system that's triggered by slot machines, by the blackjack table, by roulette. So whether it's Pokemon, sports cards, packs at Target, you know, even if it's just like $2 value packs, it's not about the theme. It's about structure. It's about the structure. If you don't know the contents of what you're paying for the chance at something better, that's gambling, period.
Yeah.
You know, like Denny said, like, you know what you're buying when you're buying, you know, a carton of eggs, or even in other hobbies like sneakers. You know, this is something that the guys over at Sports Card Madness asked me when I was on. You know, how did like your sneaker collecting days compare to sports card collecting days? And the answer is simple. When I bought a pair of Jordan 3s, I knew I was buying a pair of Jordan 3s. I wasn't like buying a pair of mystery Jordans and then maybe getting like a pair of like, you know, Skechers in the mail.
Right.
Like I knew what I was getting. Right.
Right.
And there was one other thing I want to touch on.
Sure.
And that's gambling has been around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Right. Ancient dice games, betting on gladiators, lotteries in temples. This is like nothing new.
Yeah.
And the reason it's stuck around is simple. It plays directly into our psychology. It's risk, reward, and the illusion of control. And as humans, we're wired to chase uncertain rewards for whatever reason. I don't know why that is, but our brains light up more when we might win than when we know we will win, which is why people are more attracted to joining breaks or buying personals versus just buying the single that they want from the associated product. That maybe, you know, that's what keeps us coming back. It gives us hope. It fuels the belief that this next one could change everything. I can open that optic box and hit the Jaden Daniels gold vinyl downtown, and my life will be, you know, forever different. Right. Gambling just, it creates an illusion of control. We start to think about, you know, how can we beat the odds, that we have this strategy, you know, that if we just play it the right way and use logic, mm-hmm. we buy the right pack or pick the right pack, enter the right break, hit the right team, we can come out ahead. And for some, that just becomes super addictive, not because they're weak, but because the system is literally designed to just to keep us hooked. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, gambling's been around forever, and it's mm-hmm. not because it's good for us, but because it's just something that's profitable, and those who run it, you know, make it irresistible and just, you know, basically mind F us into chasing that next big hit.
So yeah, thank you for self-censoring. I know the hobby hangout was meant to be more kind of like, you know, people can curse if they want to. Card Diary, I've been trying to keep more kind of not family friendly, but not explicit, so I didn't have to check that box in the podcast when I publish. But
sure,
it's all good. Thank you for all of this. I do have to try to land the plane a little bit here, and I want to get to some more chat. We've had quite a lively chat, and I do want you to kind of talk about, you know, what the next steps are. Before I do, I did want to ask you, because we just on the whole temple and kind of like there have been religious organizations, communities, like, you know, it's so funny how, not funny, but it's sad that we as a society, again, we're a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant society still, it's bingo halls. It's like, hey, bingo is safe and fun and okay, but man, people can get crazy into bingo. There's jackpots and people spending money, and like, that's a whole subculture I want to get into. A lot of scratch offs, people are okay. Hey, for the office, you know, March Madness pools, like there's definitely certain allowable amounts of gambling that we accept as a society. And then of course now we have sports books, and now it's like much more of a big, you know, it's big bucks and billions of dollars. So but when it comes to the aspect of religion, AA, NA, GA, I think my understanding is that there is a lot of the Christianity kind of there's an aspect that ties around to religion. All right, Gamblers Anonymous, you have in front of you.
Yeah, right in front. God grant me the strength.
Yeah.
Or God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah. So does Collectors MD, do you guys have some religious, you know, kind of influence or bend to it?
No, not at all. Okay. I'll be honest, like, I don't know why. I guess I do, but like, you know, before every meeting, or at the end of every meeting, GA meeting, you would chant what I just read from the front of the yellow book. And then on the inside, it says, I sought my soul, but could not see. I sought my God, but he eluded me. I sought my brothers and sisters and found all three. And then, you know, God give me the strength. I forget the rest of it. Or God grant me the serenity. And then you read the front. But anyway, like, I get it, but not everybody is religious, and that doesn't necessarily resonate with every single person. And frankly, some people might feel a little bit intimidated by that,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or might, you know, might have different personal values or beliefs when it comes to religion. So I don't want to get, you know, in the weeds with that. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I think, you know, we have a really, really strong mission, and it carries its weight with or without faith and religion. If somebody comes to us and says, like, you know, I'd love to insert my personal faith or religion into my personal recovery program, we'd be all ears. Like, we wouldn't like shy away from that. But it's not something that we're like building around or like has become like a core pillar of the movement.
Got it. Thank you. And I thought that was the answer, but I definitely wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of say that in case anyone in the chat is like, well, you know, it sounds like a Gamblers Anonymous, and I'm not, you know, I'm an atheist and I don't like that stuff, right? So I don't want to kind of, I wanted them to know that you guys are approachable. So I'm going to read some questions, and then we're going to talk about the meeting that's coming up every Wednesday night and all that. So I told myself with the hobby hangout, I would read every non-offensive, non-explicit comment. And Orange Slices, I know the Snickerdoodle crowd previously has asked me, 100 men versus a silverback gorilla and kind of fun, silly stuff. You know, today being kind of a more serious subject, I won't get into all the silly stuff, but So I'm just going to read it. He asks, do you think they should change the Brawl Stars ring system? My understanding is Brawl Stars is a Supercell mobile game. I have played it in the past. I do not currently play it. I do not play Clash Royale, Clash of Clans. Have I in the past? Have I been addicted to them in the past? I mean, this is the first time I've ever actually even said that out loud and said it in public. But I mean, those games are meant to be addictive. And I used to be addicted to them. I'm not now. And I'm really happy to say that. But if there's a way to responsibly play those addictive games, then hey, more power to you. But I do not have a response to that. So maybe that was a good way, a good reason for me to kind of ask that or read that question out loud.
Yeah.
But we're going to move on to Brandon, who says, this is awesome content.
Denny, can I just touch on that really, really quickly?
Brawl Stars ring system. Here we go, Alex.
I don't know that game. I actually have never heard of it. But what I did want to quickly caveat is that Collector's MD isn't just about cards. You know, this kind of compulsive behavior shows up across all hobbies. That's something I've mentioned throughout the live here tonight. You know, anywhere where money, dopamine, and identity kind of get wrapped together. And that definitely includes gaming. Like, gaming, as a matter of fact, might end up becoming like at the forefront of what we're doing here, whether it's like loot boxes, or like
microtransactions,
there's like in-game skins and aesthetics. Mm-hmm. So many modern games are built on this same slot machine mechanics we see in pack ripping. And it's the same dopamine rush, the same chase, the same risk reward cycle. And for some people it's just as damaging. So, especially for kids, like they're,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Predatory, honestly.
The adult male brain doesn't fully form until age 22 or something like that, or even older.
What's mind-boggling is that, like, you know, the more and more we talk about this, the more and more animated and passionate and to some extent frustrated I get that it's taken so long for people to have a conversation about this.
Yeah. So I just want to briefly say that I earlier said that I loved what you said about when hype is your compass. I said that we will talk about that in a moment. We just don't have enough time to kind of delve into that. We're already longer than I thought we would be. Again, thank you for your time here. And I definitely want you to kind of shout out the next meetings and all that.
Yeah.
Brandon, speaking about the being talked about more, he says, this is awesome content, something that needs to be talked about more in the hobby. Imagine if every top content creator was encouraging responsibility in the hobby, it would send shockwaves. Man, Brandon, great point. It's just that there's so much money that, and people are happy and they're happy as pigs and they don't want to send any pigs to slaughter. I mean, it's just hard. I mean, I think I can speak on stuff like this because no one controls my content or my voice in the hobby. It's just, much as I work with hobby companies, I don't work for hobby companies. And so I think I'm able to do things like that. But I mean, you know, collector, you know, Alex, you said bingo and all that. Thanks for saying it. And then we have here Brandon. Oh, J2 says, man, I would drive to four different stores looking for buying cards. Wow. I mean, J2, I've never met you in person, but I've seen your content and I know you, you're a great supporter of mine. You know, I get that feeling. And you know, let's talk separately, but, it's, you know, doesn't mean that you're like a compulsive gambling addict. It's just, I know that desire to find, it's almost like scratching a niche. It's like, wait, if this store is out, if I just go to the next one, surely they have something. So I get it. So thank you for sharing that with me. There's a lot of people who are being very kind of open here, and I love it, even though this is not, you know, a collector's MD meeting. Brandon says, there's a weird feeling of accomplishment that comes along with breaking the card versus buying a single for me. Man, I hear that.
Yeah.
I've worked on it and forced myself to get singles.
It's so hard, man.
Either you force yourself or a loved one forces you yourself or your wallet forces yourself. I mean, that's the way I think I see it. And Brandon says it's helped for sure. And Ziggy, oh man, here we go. First step in addiction is to admitting you have a problem. One of the steps is accepting your humanity. Well said. Most programs leverage a belief in a higher power. That goes to the whole religious aspect. If addicted, you need to remove yourself. I mean, Ziggy, I have such a, you know, you say some amazing things in here and I really appreciate your input. It's like you have different versions of yourself. There's like this wonderful version of yourself in this live chat. And then there's the social media part where I remember you talking about maybe we shouldn't have kids in the hobby. I mean, Ziggy, in my one of my content pieces where I was making him deal with a kid, was like, this is, I forget what he said, but like, I was like, I don't think he's trolling me, but it was like, you know, I would never do that, or this is, that was awkward. And I'm like, I, kids like me, and I have kids of my own, and I know what it's like to be in a kid in the hobby. And so I try to be nice to them. But, you know, he asked, maybe we shouldn't have kids in the hobby. I say we should. It's just, it's hard when even the kids themselves, there are affordable price points. You know, there's retail and there's NBA hoops and Top Series 1. It's just that the kids don't want Top Series 1. They want Flawless. They want right. Transcendence. They want Top Triple Threads. They want the big shiny just like the adults do. So Ziggy says polarizing. I mean, yeah, man, totally. So I think
what I'm up, Ziggy? Yeah. Shout out Ziggy. Ziggy, I met Ziggy when I was on the Real Card Show with Valor and Cage.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He came on
okay.
and chatted with us. He's the man.
Nice. Yes, yes. So thank you, Ziggy, for being in the chat. He said I wouldn't, and he is a breaker. I mean, he owns a break. I mean, I won't get into all this stuff, but he's out there known to be part of the breaking culture. And for him to say that is big. I mean, that's really nice. Ziggy says, I wouldn't do deals for hundreds of dollars with a kid without a parent. He was on camera, but his dad was there, and his dad is actually a good, decent person, and someone who actually replaced wax that was stolen from me from, you know, in that video is coming out tomorrow. I have done editing it, but Friday night, May 2nd, Orioles versus Royals at Camden Yards. I made a joke about getting a case of Topps Transcendence stolen from me that I was going to donate to a pack of Cub Scouts. I mean, clearly I'm not donating $20,000 box to 8-year-olds. That's silly. That's funny. I thought it was funny because it sounds so ludicrous. But did I actually get a box of 2024 Bowman stolen from me as I was creating content in Camden Yards? Yes, that actually did occur. And Jeff, the shout out to Jeff, he, as the store owner, replaced that wax by gifting me a box from his shop, from his hardware shop. He's not an LCS owner, he's a hardware store guy, but he made it right. He didn't have to, but shout out to you, Jeff. I don't know if you're watching this or if you'll watch it later, but happy belated birthday for you to do that on your actual birthday yesterday at the Silver Springs Civic Center Mid-Atlantic Card Show was really big of you. But that was his kid, Ziggy, just so you know. And Ziggy does say, I'm a fan. I'm a critical. I appreciate your dialogue. I mean, you know what? I appreciate that. There's a lot to be said about communication, dialogue, just talking to each other. You know, we can't just be so polarized and so upset that we stop talking. And I think that's a big thing. I think collectors MD is trying to do is they're not judgmental. They're not there to criticize. They are there to listen, and they are there for dialogue. Right? Right, Alex?
Yeah. Nailed it.
100%. So is that a good segue to telling us all about your weekly meetings? Because
yes,
I attended the first one and I was there to support, because I know some people,
yeah,
they put you on the, you know, nothing against Sport Card Madness, but they had you on as guest. I mean, they weren't there at the meeting. I mean, some people have you on and it's, you know, it's on to the next thing. But
right,
I did want to be not a man of my word because I promised that I would be there, but
yeah,
you know, I was talking with you and I was very curious and I definitely wanted to be there and I wanted to see what it was about. And it, you know, it wasn't the most attended. I won't say what the number was, but it wasn't, I was wondering if it was going to be kind of like a low number just because of the yeah. whole, the shame, the denial, the,
right.
you know, to themselves. And sometimes people who go to AA were interventions forced or coerced or voluntold by their friends and family, ultimatums. I'm going to divorce you if you don't get your alcoholism in check. I'm going to divorce, you know, I feel like people may join Collectors MD more if their spouse was like, and let's be real, it's a wife to a husband. Hey, I'm going to divorce you if you don't get your gamble, if you don't get your sports card collecting, hobby, breaking, you know, the credit card bills and all of this. If you don't get that in check, I'm going to leave you. So, I mean, yeah, I think much as the first meeting was not well attended, like, and I'm not going to attend every single one. I wish you the best of luck. And I hope that it's just a start, because I know how hard it is to start from zero. So,
yeah, no, yeah, I appreciate that, man. Well, first of all, Denny, thank you so much for having me on. This has been an awesome 90 minutes of just, you know, talking about really, really important things that matter, that I'm passionate about, and clearly you are too. So your support I'm so grateful that, you know, you're just giving me a platform and a stage to talk about this. You know, as far as our meetings, thank you for joining as well. Our weekly peer support meetings are one of the most important parts of what we're doing at Collectors MD. And I'll be real, you know, like you said, the attendance was super low in that first meeting. I'm not afraid to say the number. I think the total was 5 of us, maybe 6. And, you know, that's kind of what I expected, if I'm being honest. And that's okay. You know, we're not discouraged. We do want to talk about, you know, why that might be happening, or like, you know, how we can potentially get more people involved. And the truth is, you know, showing up to say something, like you said, just isn't easy. It takes a lot to admit that maybe your collecting habits are getting out of hand. Denial is strong. We talked about that at a great length. It tells you you're fine. You don't need to do this. This is for people with real problems. But the reality, if you've even thought about joining one of these meetings, that's probably your gut telling you something. And here's the thing. These meetings aren't therapy. They're not lectures. They're just honest, judgment-free spaces to share, listen, and connect with others who get it. Whether you're spending too much, hiding purchases, feeling burnt out, or just questioning your relationship with the hobby or your collecting habits, this is your place to unpack all of that. No shame, no press, no pressure. You can just show up and listen. You don't even have to put your camera on. You know, I do ask that at the very least, you just put in your initials or your first name and the first letter of your last name, but you don't have to participate. You don't have to talk. You could literally just join and listen. The hardest part is getting past that first hump, pushing through that denial, the hesitation, the pride. But once you're in the room, I'm telling you, it will click, because the same thing happened when I started to go to GA meetings for the first time. You realize you're not alone, you're not broken, and you don't have to carry all of this in silence. There are other people out there just like you who care, who want to help you get through this. Again, this is a community. We want to do this as a team. This isn't just me leading the way. This is a group effort through and through. So if you've been on the fence and you know, you're interested in checking it out, our next meeting is this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday night, which is, I believe, May 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern. All that is asked is that you fill out a basically like a screening form, just answering a few questions and putting in your email so that I can add you to the invite. Again, there's no spotlight, there's no pressure, just a space to breathe, reflect, and maybe start seeing things a little bit more clearly.
And it's free, right? Just to be clear.
And it's free. And I do want to caveat one other thing with it. We just released our official Collectors MD recovery journal, a recovery guide. It's live on the website. When you go to collectorsmd.com, it's at the top. It says recovery guide. It's live, it's free, and it's already become a core tool for folks navigating compulsive collecting. And it's kind of our version of, again, the yellow book that we use in GA, but really tailored for collecting in this community. So if you just want to check that out, all the information is there. If you have questions, feel free to reach out. You can email, DM. I'm more than happy to just have a conversation. If you are hesitant about just joining the meeting, we could just talk. Yeah.
Okay. So this is why I shouldn't be a pilot, because I would be terrible at landing planes. So Reddit story says, I have a gambling addiction. And so, I mean, you know, that's a serious thing. Thank you for sharing that. Even if it's an anonymous account, like, you know, I hope you do go to collectorsmd.com. I know the answer to this next one. He says, Uncle Lester Camp says, will he sell our information if we fill out a form? I know the answer is no, but I'm going to let Alex answer that.
Sorry, what was the question? Will we sell our information if we fill out a form? No, we'll not sell your information. If you would like to read our privacy policy, that's on the website as well. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll see all the information that will protect your privacy and your information.
Okay, thank you. Just to clear that, Uncle Lester, he said something else I'm not going to read out loud because it's a minorly offensive, but he does say you always
I can answer that.
Go ahead.
I'm not in a dorm room. This is actually my home office. My wife insisted we stick a bed in here because we needed an extra guest room. And, you know, this is my little curated collection in the back. So I actually take that as a compliment. I would like to consider this a little bit of a man cave. I got some memorabilia hanging on the wall and stuff, but I appreciate that.
You know, it's nice that he said, I apologize, and says, I thought he was a college student. Now he is 35, 36, what you said?
I'm 35, yeah. Wow, how flattering, college student. I would love to be in college.
That's awesome.
I went to Penn State, so.
There you go. We are.
We are, Penn baby. State.
Uncle Les says, hi, Tontos. Tonto says, what's up, guys? We are going to end this very soon. He says, you're always one bet away from getting even. I mean, that is definitely the gambler's mentality. It's what is it like? You're one step. You are one swing away from just hitting the jackpot, right? Or one slot machine pull away from just, you know, you left it for the next person. And oh my gosh, you know, that's such a, what is it called? Like the gambler's fallacy, maybe, you know, it's just
real quick. I remember buying, I think it was like 5 fat packs of Optic football a couple of years ago from Target. And as I was 100% sure I purchased 5 of them. As I was walking to the car, I somehow managed to lose one of them. I don't know if I dropped it or if I left it at the cash register, but mm-hmm. I ended up with 4 fat packs when I got home. Mm-hmm. And I opened them. They were all duds. And for the longest time, like, my mind just kept telling me that there was a downtown in that pack.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. It's your mind playing tricks on you.
Absolutely.
It's not realistic. It's not thinking logically. And right. That's what you have to realize. That's just what you have to accept.
Right. Absolutely. And R. Gordon here says, I am an addict too. I mean, really, just even typing that, saying that out loud, just really, I mean, that's big. That's the first step. And so R. Gordon, whoever you are, like, thank you for putting that in the chat. I mean, really, really fantastic. I applaud you for, again, just having the thought in your mind and then having that thought go to your fingers and to tap that out onto the screen or the keyboard. Like, thank you so much. And Brandon, great. I mean, he's like the MVP of this chat, I think. He says, what player and where did you drop it? Oh my gosh, Brandon. he might have to go scour the parking lot.
what player? It was maybe it was CJ Stroud or I don't know. Parking lot. Yeah. It's long gone. I mean, hopefully Target. Like the full circle would be, you know, a young, healthy and happy 12-year-old collector found it, opened it, and is cherishing that downtown for the rest of their life.
Yeah. I mean,
what a silly farce that, like, you know, your mind, mm-hmm. your mind goes in so many directions and you just have to be able to.
Oh yeah.
Take a deep breath and collect yourself. No pun intended. Call somebody, reach out. But like, I want to piggyback off what you said, like R. Gordon just saying there, you know, I am an addict too. Like that is so brave and powerful, and it takes so much, you know, resilience to come to terms with that and not just say it to yourself, but to admit it in a public forum. So, you know, really, really appreciate you for saying that. And we're here for you, R. Gordon. If you want to reach out, please DM me, Collectors MD. We can get on a call tomorrow. We could talk about what you're going through and we could talk about ways, you know, to help put you in the right direction.
Yeah. Truly, no. Oh, thank you. That's a great way to end. And, you know, the box that was stolen from me, I really, in my head, I kept thinking, what if there was a super fractor in there? I got so upset and I didn't even get to open up the box. And of course, my hope is that the box that Jeff, the hardware owner, gifted me is the one that does have it. But again, it's all RNG, random number generator. Just, you know, my friend was like, hey, what if the person who stole it, it was a kid and they, not that they're down on their luck, but yeah, what if they were meant to just kind of, you know, enjoy it? So just all good. Uncle Lester Cam says, terrific live. Thank you guys so much for being here. At one point, I think we had about a dozen people in the chat. You guys were really, really, like, I mean, sometimes the hobby hangout can get kind of silly, but you guys gave this entire time almost over an hour and a half, the gravitas and the sincerity that it deserves. So, Alex, much applause to you for doing what you're doing. The chat, you guys are excellent. This is why I love doing this live. The chat really provides a great value to the proceedings. And so this is where I will finally land the plane. It almost ran out of fuel flying in the air, hovering around the air, airspace. But Alex, 30-second final words.
Denny, thank you so much. Again, truly, this has been so powerful and impactful, you know, I think not just for me, but for everybody who's been watching. If you're rewatching this and you want to reach out and have a discussion about anything, even if it's not you, if you know somebody, if you have a loved one who might, you know, be in a crisis, please reach out. Of course, we are not licensed medical doctors or therapists. So if you are truly in crisis mode, please call a crisis line. Please reach out to a licensed mental health professional. Yeah. But if you just want to have a conversation, we're here for you.
Thank you so much, Alex. And Uncle Lester says, I like going on eBay and just lowballing office people. Man, I'm telling you, that's a great way to participate in the hobby. And people may get upset at you, but hey, someone might take it. Someone might want to just get rid of a card, but
you never know.
There's many different ways. And I don't think it's trolling. It's just, hey, you just never know. And some people highball, right? I mean, there are offers on eBay that are like astronomically high. So yeah. Anyway, that's a good way to end the live. Alex, thank you so much for your time. Chat, you guys are actually absolutely awesome. I don't like when people say chat because it's the whole breaker vocabulary, but it works here, and you guys were excellent. And remember, breakers are not, if they have your number and they text you saying, hey, how's it going? And hey, are you doing anything? Are you busy? Can you jump in this live? They're not doing that out of the goodness of their heart. They want you to set the floor for their
breakers. Same thing as having a VIP host on DraftKings.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a sign. It really is, guys. So just keep that in mind. So thank you so much, everyone. I'm going to end the stream here and hope you guys have a great week in the hobby. Take care until the next time in the Hobby Hangout and the Card Diary by Hobby S. Thompson.
Thank you so much.